brilliantly acrobatic save. Xhaka's corner, Giroud!
Wow, they're starting with an attacking play on the second half. Just as the ball kicks off, DJ Sticks running with the ball. DJ Sticks passes DJ Stones. Wow, DJ Stones run past Lionel Messi. Runs past Cristiano Ronaldo. Passes to Fernandinho. Fernandinho passes back to DJ Stones. DJ Stones takes a shot and he misses. But DJ Sticks is there for the rebound and he hits it in. And wow! That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is classic play. And this is the VAR show.
Welcome, welcome, everybody.
Welcome
to another
exciting,
amazing,
fire,
dope.
Yeah, I hit a blank after that.
Installment of the V.
A.
Show. With your host from the West Coast, the host who does not boast, DJ Sticks.
And this is your host. The one who likes to boast, also likes to make toast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's glory.
And we are here excited to deliver some of the hottest footballing news, as you already know, on the VAR show. That's the only way we do it. And we are coming off from a very exciting weekend.
Yeah, indeed.
A weekend with a lot of dope fixtures. Some of us not so unlucky with the matches that we played.
Yeah.
Man City losing to Aston Villa. 1-0. But who cares? It's fine, right? We're gonna come back.
Everyone as DJ knows, Sticks just lightly brushes back over that. But it's fine. We'll give him
moving
grace
on
and
to
move
other
on.
Fixtures, right? Other fixtures. Liverpool also losing, making it their fourth Premier League game in a row.
To all the Liverpool fans, I've got one song for you. And it goes like this. We are the champions,
yo,
my friend.
Oh my goodness me.
And you guys are the losers.
My goodness me. And obviously, as you can tell, a very, very happy...
No, there's a lot of joy around Man United. But again, let's try not make this the Man United rant show, because this is not about Man United. It's football in general, and we love football on the show.
Yes, and now he loves football because he won 4-2 against Brighton.
4-2 against Brighton, yeah.
Making it the third win of this month.
Let's go.
How does it feel?
That's crazy.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, I saw on, I think, was it Instagram Reels or YouTube Shorts, one of the two, where I think it was a YouTube creator, Man United fan, who showed a post of, you know, Ruben Amorim being approached by fans, probably to get, like, photos or something. And yeah, as his car, like, you know, approaches the camera, you see him with a big smile on his face.
Yeah. And from what I'm hearing, he's going to be getting his first nomination for Manager of the Month since joining Man United.
Let's go.
So it's a good time to be a Man United
fan. I don't know if you're going to have a chance to win it. We'll see. Because, I mean, Ten Hag, I think, in one of his seasons should have won. And I think he was robbed. But
yeah,
anyway, let's leave that for there. So hopefully he can do something with that. I think it would be highly unrealistic to say he's going to win that.
Yeah,
that award. But I mean, I think so far so good. Good start in the top six of the league. And
people are, you know, are debating online and fighting online. Obviously all the Manchester United fans are rooting for Emery.
Fighting with all the rest of the Premier League.
Yes. But then Arsenal, who's also been in crazy form, is basically saying to United, if he's going to win it, then what are you saying about Mikel Arteta? You know?
Look, you know what's interesting? In everything that's happening in the past couple of game weeks, Arsenal is not even the main discussion.
If
Man United loses, Man United becomes a laughingstock. Yeah? Liverpool loses, Liverpool becomes a laughingstock. People are not talking about Man United's good form, but no one's saying anything about Arsenal.
Yeah, and it's quite crazy to see, because I mean they have a 4-point lead at the top,
yeah,
only losing one and drawing one, so 7 games, being won their last five matches, four wins and one draw. So they've actually been in quite amazing form.
Yeah.
But like you've said, no one's talking about Arsenal, and no one's talking about the fact that Bournemouth is second on the log with only one loss. So they are one of two teams.
Bournemouth is on
fire. They've only lost once this season.
That's the fun part about the Premier League, you know.
That's scary. And
one moment you're up, you know, the next moment you're down.
Exactly, and their only loss happened in the first game against Liverpool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I remember that. I think the game went about 2-1.
Was it
2-1?
No, it ended up being
4-2. But it was 4-2, yes.
Liverpool did score two late goals. So even that loss was like, you know.
So they literally had to pull something out of the dirt to win the game.
So, can we potentially see a Leicester City situation this season?
Or is it another Nottingham Forest?
Because
Nottingham Forest were looking very good. I thought they were going to do well this season, get Champions League football.
Yep.
And they near relegation zone, if not in it already. I think they're in relegation zone.
They are 18th. This is the only league in the world where you can find a log looking like this almost halfway through the season. I mean, you have a newly promoted team, that being Sunderland, at number 4.
Crazy.
They currently have a Champions League place. Obviously, things probably won't stay the way they are. But Sunderland is 4th. And 3rd is Tottenham, who didn't have a strong start to the season. But they are 4th. And you have a club like Brighton, 13th. You have Newcastle, 12th. You have West Ham, 19th. West Ham this season, non-popular take. I think that this season they're going to be relegated.
Relegated. I think so too. I don't think that's far-fetched.
If you watch West Ham, oh my goodness me.
Yeah, I don't think that's far-fetched. It's quite interesting because given the nature of how, you know, the Premier League works, generally the team that recently comes in suffers.
Yes.
And what we've seen here is Sunderland is in the top 4.
Sunderland is in the top 4.
And all of the veterans are...
above Man City, you know, above Liverpool, above Chelsea. Chelsea, the world champions. They are 9th.
I don't care how bad, you know, Man United may play.
Yeah.
Chelsea is a team I'll always ridicule. Chelsea, I feel like if you're having a bad day, you can pick on them.
You can.
That's the type of team Chelsea is.
No, actually, because there was even a post that I saw where they basically calculated in the last, I think, since 2011, the team that spent the amount of money on, like, club signings. And by far, it was Chelsea.
Yeah.
By far.
I mean, if you start to name names, you'll already hear crazy stuff. You look at the likes of Christopher Nkunku,
who had
how many seasons? One? Two seasons?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
He didn't play well at Chelsea, literally. And he's now gone.
Sold, bought for basically double the price he was sold for.
So again, in the face of all of those people that say Man United kill players, Nkunku was in his prime at Leipzig.
Prime, like prime time. If he had gone to like a Bayern Munich or something else, you know.
Yeah, Chelsea, I'm sure he... Look, Bayern also, you know, is breeding a really good team there. But anyway, back to our topic.
They are. And actually, this was a very, very, very exciting weekend, as we've said. But the highlight of the weekend happened on Sunday evening, that being the first El Clasico of the season.
Yes.
Lots and lots of trash talk was happening before.
Tons
of it. And I was not surprised by the turnout of the game.
I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm not saying that it's a shock, but I didn't want Real Madrid to win. I'm not even going to lie. I didn't want them to win.
Hey, with me...
I was literally waiting to hate on them.
Yeah, I know, me too. I mean, definitely, I was Barca all the way in that match.
Yeah.
But I did feel that, you know, this past weekend, Barca had something coming. Number one, because of the shaky form that Barca was in towards this game. I mean, we barely won that Girona game 2 weeks ago. And then going into this game, during the week, Fabrizio was just dropping, like, Real Madrid news. Trent is available now. Ferland Mendy is coming back from injury.
Exactly.
Jude Bellingham is starting. And then I just felt this, like, overwhelming feeling of, like, oh,
it's
my
like
goodness
pressure,
me.
Bro.
Then I found out we're playing at the Bernabeu. And then Lamine Yamal saying all this stuff about the fact that it's gonna be easy. They've done it before. 4 times last year we beat them. And let's I just thought, oh my
god. Let's talk about the fight at the end, though.
Oh, the fight at the end was classic El Clasico.
That's what you call an El Clasico. There's no... El Clasico is not an El Clasico if there's no bloodshed.
Literally, it took me back to the one where Messi took off his t-shirt and was showing the fans. You know, it took me back to prime time
bro,
El Clasico.
When Sergio Ramos and Dani Alves used to go
my goodness me. When Ramos and Pepe used to sandwich
and Pepe,
Messi.
Bro.
It was crazy stuff.
Those games were really messy.
Yeah, literally. And yeah, the results obviously being a 2-1 win for Real Madrid. Kylian Mbappe becoming only one of, I think, four players to score in four consecutive El Clasicos. Right. He's joined the Cristiano club and the Ronaldinho club as well.
Yeah,
but it's crazy.
I still think that as much as it was very much anticipated, Kylian Mbappe's move to Real Madrid was not handled in the correct timing. It should have happened earlier. But after they missed their timing, I think he should have waited a bit. I mean, think about it. If 1,000% if Kylian Mbappe was in that Champions League winning PSG, Dembele was not going to stand a chance at the Ballon d'Or.
No, it wasn't. No. If PSG won the Champions League while Mbappe was there, definitely Mbappe would have won.
Because guess who would have been top goal scorer?
Yeah, he would have definitely.
Guess who would have been man of the match?
Literally, if only he had listened to Luis Enrique.
Enrique.
Yeah, but he's part of a Madrid side that is very passionate. Obviously, there was that drama as well with Vini Jr. being subbed off.
Yeah.
And basically throwing a tantrum. Not even going to Alonso, and not even looking at Alonso when you're subbed off, and then going straight for the dressing room. He did release a statement after the game and publicly apologized, number one, in training, so in front of his team, but also took out a public statement to the fans, basically saying that, you know, his passion for the game got the better of him, and, you know, it's driven by his drive to win, and also for the love of the club as well. So yeah, like we said, tensions are high, and yeah, you know, these things can happen at El Clasico, but it's very exciting to see Lewandowski back from injury this week as well. So football is looking amazing. One unfortunate piece of news is that Kevin De Bruyne has had that has sustained a serious muscle injury as well.
Yeah.
To that same place that he got injured in when he was at Man City. So it's the same injury coming back. He'll be gone for a couple of months for sure. But yeah, football for me is exciting. Champions League next week. I'm ready.
We're very excited to see what's going to happen in the Champions League upcoming. Personally, as much as I've been following the Champions League, I haven't been totally invested because I am of the opinion that, you know, Champions League is not what it used to be. But again, that's just my personal point of view. Although I do try, you know, to sometimes watch the games. It is quite interesting to see where football is going right now at this point. I mean, England is on fire. Europe in general is on fire. I'm not hearing a lot of the noise coming from Real Betis with them signing the GOAT.
Hey.
You know?
No. I think he's waiting. You know, he's waiting for the time.
You know,
the proper time to shine. The second half of the season.
Of the
when
season.
It truly matters. That's when he's waiting for. And that's when he will shine. Yes. And the same way that Anthony will shine next part of the season is the same way that we will shine again next week.
I don't know if we discussed this last week on the show, but something interesting, because Mason Greenwood is still performing, still doing the most at Marseille, and Man United actually still have a sell-on clause on him. So depending on how well he performs, because obviously with his current performance, depending on which clubs are willing to take the risk with what happened previously, I mean, I do believe that cloud is gone.
Yeah.
Maybe not in England necessarily, but in general that cloud is gone, you know, the whole allegations, everything that happened before.
Yeah.
And say clubs are looking to buy him. Maybe Barca wants another, you know, right winger. Or he can even be a left winger. Which one do you want? You choose a striker.
Yeah, he can play anywhere.
Because I know Barca is looking to get rid of Lewandowski. Yeah, they're not renewing his contract. So say, for example, Mason Greenwood were to buy, not buy, but were to be bought by another club, Man United still has a 30% sell-on clause for him. So they could be getting, you know, some, a little bit of some cash on him. Maybe Marcus Rashford as well, if Barcelona decide to keep him or something like that. We could be making some good money from both of those players, and Marcus Rashford is looking to have a good season as well.
Oh no, definitely, definitely. He's most likely going to be getting some type of
As much as I hate to say this, I'm happy to see that he's making some progress at Barca. And again, hopefully he does well. And yeah,
maybe when he comes, he'll also be coming to a different Man United side.
You see, but the thing is, you know, it's things are different already. I mean, being stripped off of your shirt number is crazy. And when he comes back, what position, what kind of a role does he get given? What position does he play? What shirt number is he going to have? Because obviously you're not going to take the number 10 from Mateus Cunha and give it to Marcus Rashford.
Who signed a long-term contract.
You're going to create tension in the dressing room.
Yes.
And that's not the kind of tension you want, especially being Man United and where we're at currently. You don't want that. Yeah. And I also don't think Man United wants to bring Marcus Rashford back into that squad, because now it's reintegrating him into a completely different system, different style of play, and just getting him used to that again, which I don't think in itself is a problem, but it does create a sort of, it's a different atmosphere, basically.
Yeah, maybe Barca will buy, but who knows? Who knows?
He's a good player. I just don't know if he's a perfect fit for Barcelona
at the moment.
I
think it does create like sort of an unpredictability.
That yes,
yeah, like a spiciness, and also he shoots.
Because even with the El Clasico game, he provided the assist for the only goal that Barca were able
Lopez,
to score.
Who is also unstoppable right now.
Yeah,
four goals in two games. So. It's insane. It's insane. But all of this will be revealed, right, in the second part of the season.
Yeah.
And more will be revealed from us next week. Same time, same place. And for now, we are signing out. Peace.
Peace.
Stay updated, stay entertained with Active FM on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok,
Apple Podcast, YouTube, LinkedIn, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else. Comment, share them out, retweet and repost. Spread the word.
Active FM, radio has never been better.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.